Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 24th of January. It is wonderful to have you all aboard. Let me introduce our panel. WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning, Alan.
Hello, Joe.
Newsman Ray Graff is with us. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, Joe.
And University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, Rosemary Armeo.
Good morning.
Good morning. A delight to have you all here. We welcome our listeners to check in as well. You can email us at roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. At WAMC Roundtable, we would love to hear from you. Let us begin with a lot of stories today. And
always are a lot of stories. Have you noticed that?
There are. Always a lot of stories. I normally put down 5, and today I put down 8 because I had trouble picking. And obviously the train is in town. I apologize for that noise.
Hoffman's Playland for a minute there.
So let's start with the Chuck Schumer story that is in the paper this morning. Senator Charles Schumer on Thursday calling on Democrats to try to reduce the Tea Party's political influence by driving a wedge between the movement's elite leaders and its middle-income followers who depend on popular government programs like Medicare. These words came from a speech that he made before the Center for American Progress Action Fund. A great name.
Yeah.
That means something, I'm sure. Mr. Schumer, a New York Democrat who is highly regarded as a party political strategist, said Democrats have been slow to counter what he acknowledged was an effective anti-government message by the Tea Party. Alan, what does this tell us about the party as a whole and also even about Chuck Schumer specifically and his role?
Exactly. Let's start with Chuck Schumer. This is a brilliant guy. He knows how to raise money. He goes to talk to a group of people who are likely to listen to him very carefully. He gives them what they want, which is that the Tea Party's bad. And I was on this panel at the Norman Rockwell last night, and the people on the right side were yelling about big government, too much big government. They keep repeating this mantra over and over and over again. They don't talk about Social Security. They don't talk about the fact that so much money is delivered to education. They talk about big government, and they keep it very simple. And Schumer says quite correctly, we have to counter that argument so that people know what exactly it is that government is doing. And if it's not, and by the way, in that panel last night, and all good people, I didn't hear anything said about too much, too many submarines and too many battleships and too much defense. I just heard about too much, and I believe that the purpose was domestic programming. So I think Schumer was right. I think it needs to be done.
How effective will it be, do you think?
Well, good luck to him trying.
Yeah.
good luck to him trying. The media has made this point for years, since as long as the Tea Party has been around, that why is it that the elderly people on the sidelines holding up signs against Obamacare are the very ones who are part of what they would call a socialized medicine program, Medicaid. And Medicare, exactly. So that disconnect that he talks about is definitely there. I just don't know how, if the media has not undone it, how the Democratic Party could undo it.
The Tea Party elites, with little rebuttal, have been able to make government the boogeyman, and they have convinced too much of America that government is the explanation for their ills.
You know, I've often said it, Ronald Reagan comes along and he says, I've got the right program. Other guys, Jerry Brown, who preceded him, said, we have to come at it from the left. And they keep it simple. And people who don't understand a lot about government like these appeals from the fix-it men, the people who say, I can do it. Okay, well, we tried the left guy. He didn't work. Now let's try the right guy and see if he works. They don't want people who say, and this is the Schumer problem here, government is working, and, you have to really understand all the modifications and ramifications of this. And they say, go away. Give me somebody who promises me instant relief.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that is stacked against Schumer and all of those in the government who would say, well, we need more taxes. Taxes, implicitly, not a sexy issue. So if you are, and I think Governor Cuomo, to some extent, has seen this, yep, especially in regard to the New York City pre-K issue. More taxes, not an easy sell for anyone. And so if you are, and regardless of the actual realities, if you are saying, well, look, I'm for lowering taxes, you have an instant in with many in the electorate.
The electorate, right, though, and has... I'm sorry, Alan. We should explain.
No, go ahead.
Alan's working. He's not in the office, so I can't get his cues when he's about to speak, and I don't mean to speak over you. But that is the problem for all politicians. The electorate, and I'm guilty of this, want two things. They want lots and lots of services, and they want low taxes. Mm. And those two things do not go together. So low taxes are a good sell, but... so are high services. How do you put that together?
And that's why I wonder how de Blasio will play. I mean, exactly. It's very early on, but in 4 years, hey, I'm the guy who rammed through higher taxes, even though the state said they'll give us the money for this pre-K.
Anything you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, which is a brilliant political play.
Mm-hmm, it was.
But, you know, I wonder how that'll play out in 4 years.
Well, I think de Blasio is the hottest thing around right now. And, Ray, I think you're right. He has a potential... lashback. But in New York City, which is different from Long Island, from Wantagh, Long Island, where the guy's sitting in the little yellow house with two rooms and paying $20,000 in taxes, New York City is a different animal. It's in many, many ways. And right now, de Blasio is the man of the moment, and he thinks he's got the elephant by the tail or the tiger. And why? Because he knows that people are very anxious to have a different kind of government from the Bloomberg government, and they are responding. And remember, he says only people who make more than $500,000 should pay. When he lowers that to $300,000, he gets a hell of a lot less popular. But the $500,000 is something that a lot of people could believe in.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will tackle other stories as well. We welcome your input, as always. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York. Offering minimally invasive spine surgery, choose stmarys.com. Proctor's, presenting pianist and composer Lincoln Mayorga, Gershwin in New York and Hollywood. January 30th, proctors.org. And NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel discussion. Again, we welcome your input. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We want to change the subject and move on to other stories because I mentioned we have a lot of them today. Yes.
Seven to go.
You're keeping track?
Yeah.
You're keeping track there. All right. Let us go to, let's go actually to the, because we have a few minutes before we go to the NPR news break. The and this is about the Boston bombing suspect. Since the federal death penalty was reinstated in 1988, attorneys general have authorized it for about 500 defendants. By the end of the month, there may be yet another, the accused Boston Marathon bomber. Attorney General Eric Holder Jr. must decide by January 30th whether to pursue the death penalty. But even if he does so, it is far from certain that Dzhokhar Tsarnaev would actually face execution. And I guess that puts into two things of what is that. So what message does that send from Eric Holder? And then ultimately, what does it say about our overall federal death penalty policy?
Mm-hmm. Alan, you want to go first on that?
Well, the only thing I can say is This puts Obama and Holder into a tough spot.
Yeah.
Why?
You know, if I'm in because if I'm in Boston, and my relatives or people I know were killed, it's very hard for me to understand why this guy shouldn't be killed back. Now, this is going to get a lot of people on the listening to the radio right now quite annoyed, because there is a philosophy in this country. It's an emerging philosophy. The Supreme Court has been toying with it themselves, that, you know, we're not doing it fairly. We're, you know, the people who are black are more likely to get executed. We know that's true statistically and everything else. So now they're in a tough spot, this is one where if you go one way, the other side really hates you, Ray. But I have to tell you, I have often thought, you're a father, I have often thought of what happens if anything like that happened to a member of my family.
That's why you shouldn't decide it. That's why you shouldn't decide it, because of course you want somebody dead. And I mean, many of us have taken a stand against the death penalty, and that means even in these extreme cases.
And I've been one of them. Yeah, exactly.
And that is why, even in this case, he's a 19-year-old kid. We have another story today about Justin Bieber getting in trouble for
that. There's a death penalty case.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the difference between these two 19-year-olds in the news in trouble, you know, what the variance in the crime is. So, okay, I can see a difference in punishment, but 19 years old and he's going to face life in prison.
Well, but can you see a big
difference? That's a big punishment.
Can you see a difference?
Enough.
Difference in the crime. I mean,
can you see a difference in the crime? Exactly.
And countless others maimed. Yeah. You know, my thing is, if you have the death penalty, this would be one to use it on, but otherwise, get rid of the death penalty. I mean, that's simple.
That's the thing. I mean, I have to say it becomes a convoluted. I am morally against the death penalty. I don't buy into it. I don't care for it. However, in this case, I look at it and say, okay, well, if you're not going to execute him anyway, then sure, give him the death penalty. You know what I mean?
If you're not going to execute him anyway, give him the death penalty?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Just keep him in jail forever under the threat of...
Right, mm-hmm. because then, I mean, then that sends the message that it's the strongest possible, but you have 500 defendants who have received this this federal execution who have never been executed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, otherwise, just get rid of the death penalty. I mean, if you're never going... If this doesn't qualify... then just don't have the death penalty and have that moral discussion, and everyone who is against it, you know, have that discussion and make the decision and abolish it.
But I'm curious as the politics. I mean, this happened in New York State as well, of course. But you come in, you say, I'm going to be tough on crime. We're going to institute the death penalty, and then it's never then the courts battled it back and forth. But then even in the states where it is executions are few and far between.
Except for Texas, where they'll execute you even if you're from another country and the country wants you back.
That's an interesting story as well. That's a very interesting
and a
story.
Parking violation apparently.
Yeah. They'd execute Bieber, probably, off with his head.
And it's Rosemary Armeo, ladies and gentlemen.
And it took 20 years to do.
Yeah.
It was 20
Well, that's
years.
It. It took 20 years, absolutely. And it's an interesting thing, and I guess we'll see. But, you know, if you, in reading the cases, some of the other cases of the people who have... received the where the federal death penalty was enacted, people who were given that designation, however, not executed as of yet. It seems that if you were to compare the crimes, and this being an act of terrorism and with multiple deaths, it certainly fits into that.
To make clear that there's no indication that it will be handled as anything but a death penalty case. The defense expects that.
You think the polls play into this?
Oh,
absolutely. I once had...
bring in polls to everything.
well, in order to understand the political animal, you have to understand they listen to polls and they watch the polls. So I once had Mario Cuomo on the Capital Connection, and I remember I got him a little angry at me. And he waxed eloquently about the death penalty. And I said, what about the Holocaust? What about, you know, the great Adolf Eichmann? What about the greatest killers of all, like Adolf Eichmann? And there was a pause, and he said, that's different. So, you know, that, or he said something like that. So that really is what's happening. They are looking politically at whether there's damage, whichever way they go.
But the goal of American justice has always been to separate politics and emotions from the law, and that's why the victims and the survivors should really not have a say in the punishment.
And to your point, Rosemary, Eric Holder has said he does not personally support the death penalty, but he has authorized its use several times, and many legal experts expect that he will do so again in this case. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get your we'll come on back, Alan. We're going to take a break, go to the news, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. A delight to have you here. Let us reintroduce all good words. Thank you very much for your assistance, Raymond.
Yes. No one left during the news.
Recapitulate what's happened so far.
You mean as far as the panel goes? We don't know about the listeners. WAMC.
No, they're both still there.
WAMC's Alan Chartok is here, newsman Ray Graff, and University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. We want to, let's talk about the story about Hillary Clinton, two really interesting stories regarding Hillary Clinton. One is that the Obama political operation, when you look at this this whole thing on Thursday, Priorities USA Action, a super PAC that played an important role in helping reelect President Obama, announced that it was formally aligning itself with Mrs. Clinton, and obviously set a lot of people saying, okay, this must be sort of in the works then. Not that that's a huge surprise. Meaning that this would be a certainly a move, an indicator, if you will.
She's running.
She's running.
Right? If you listen to Paul Begala, I think it was Paul Begala this morning, who was on CNN's morning show. He said, well, I don't know what you've heard, but I've been friends with her for 20-some-odd years, and she hasn't made her mind up yet. That was the line he was touting.
Oh, political scientists, what do you have to say?
Come on.
That's what they said on CNN. Come on.
Come on. You know, I mean, if she wasn't running, you'd know it one way or the other, because it would be irresponsible not to let the process go forward and let the Democrats pick somebody else. But you never know who's coming out of left field. So that while I believe the Democrats are intent on uniting behind Hillary, I suspect that there are probably somebody out there saying, I wonder if I could pull an Obama with Hillary again. I mean, after all, she was vulnerable. She lost the last time out with Obama. And maybe there's somebody who would like to be president of the United States and thinks that they could do it. Do I think she's running? I know she's running. I think the Democrats are smart to have a single candidate for once without being a circular firing squad. But anything can happen.
A couple things to note about this PAC. One is that, as Ray mentioned, Paul Begala is an advisor to the PAC, was earlier with the when they supported President Obama. Also, Jim Messina, Mr. Obama's campaign manager in 2012, will serve as co-chairman of this revamped super PAC. So it seems as though a lot of the people who were in that Obama team, and certainly a lot of people who were part of this PAC before, which was very successful, are now aligning themselves with this. And I guess this is kind of the time to do it. Even though we look at the race and say 2016 is a long way away, still this is the time to get the ducks in the row, right?
I don't like super PACs. I wish you would talk about this, Alan. I don't like super PACs, even when they're on the side that I'm, you know, likely to feel more allegiance to. I think that's a bad way to run campaigns, and I think this is sad.
You know what? I keep trying to tell you guys something, and I know this is going to sound arrogant, but there's a difference between what is and what should be. I certainly agree with you, Rosemary. It's bad. I don't like it. Nevertheless, we have a Supreme Court. We have anything goes politically, and these super PACs are a reality, and we've got to live with them.
You are right, and I do blame the Supreme Court for this, and the Democrats are doing what they too often let the Republicans do, which is to figure out what the rules of the game are and then play it to the hilt. So so in that way, it's like, good.
Well, this is not
the
new, though.
Super PACs are allowed. Let's do it.
They did this 4 years ago the hilt.
This is one of the reasons that Obama won his reelection, is that the work of this super PAC, it was very, their attack ads, if you will, were very effective against
$67 million that they raised and money that they say they want to far surpass in this time, which is why they're getting together now. But it's a lot of money.
I would like to pursue another theme, which is going to really have you guys catcalling on me. But take a look at Bill de Blasio in New York. Here is a guy who is now making a claim to the left. He's now become a rock star already. He visits Washington for the mayor's conference, and he is mobbed. Now, are you following me? You know, here's the Clinton centrist group. And the model was Obama coming in and stealing the marbles. Are you absolutely sure that de Blasio isn't sitting there, or Elizabeth Warren, or the progressive wing of the Democratic Party? And remember who votes in primaries, who says, maybe I could make this happen.
Okay, but how do you then go against, and let's just say they can do it again, how do you go against if you're de Blasio, if you're Elizabeth Warren, if you are
Biden,
another Democrat,
Cuomo.
Quote, how do you go against $67 million just from this PAC, not to mention all of the other money that is going to be funneling in?
Okay, so here's the PAC. They've got the money. Now you have primaries. Let's assume, by the way, I think Hillary is running. I think she's going to be the candidate. But just for the hell of it, let's explore this one. What if she begins to lose primaries? It's happened before.
Yeah.
You still got
the PAC. She mismanaged it.
That
lost last time. You're right, Alan. She could blow this.
You still got the PAC, right? And they've still got the money. What are they going to go do? Support, a cruise for President of the United States? I don't, or Christie? I don't think so. Then they check in on whoever becomes the candidate side.
So you suggest then that there could be a candidate far further left who then becomes viable. But, I mean, doesn't that go against your rule number one where, in the election, you have to be more central? So, in other words, that's a suicidal run for a party to go far left or far right in the general election, yes?
And Ray, it might well be. On the other hand, Obama won. Now, why did he win? Was he a left-wing candidate? Not really. A lot of people thought he was. And they all projected their own views on what he was into him. That's why so many people were disappointed on health care and some of the other things that he came up with. Because it turns out he was a moderate.
Hillary helped him, too. Her campaign was not well run. It was not well managed. And she, in many ways, gave the primary election to Obama last time. Well, I hope that she's learned. I hope that she and her people have learned.
It is important to remember that in the Republican Party, the reason these guys are scared to death, people like Mitch McConnell, who should be a shoo-in, and is opposed by a who-he candidate, they're scared. McConnell hasn't been heard from for a year because he knows if he's perceived as a sellout or conciliator, he's done. And so the Republican right comes out in that primary, in those primaries, and wins. And often, but not always, the Democratic left comes out passionately and goes into a primary where very few people vote.
So let me pull a pin on a grenade on this conversation.
Great.
And go to And go to, many of you will not see it until Sunday, January 26th, but the New York Times Magazine is already getting some raised eyebrows,
yes
from their very unusual cover
yeah.
depicting the face of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton as a planet for its Sunday edition. And it is a very celestial cover with a circle dead in the center with a picture of Hillary's face with the rest of her head sort of...
planetary. They called it a fleshy planet.
Yeah, yes, sure. A fleshy planet.
We got to get Bob Berman on the phone for the rest of this conversation. There's some astronomical problems with this picture.
And calling it Planet Hillary and basically making the point of her gravitational pull and showing the other bodies that are out there but are very small and would be seemingly insignificant and basically waiting for this planet to do something.
Yeah.
There's
Times has been wrong before. Hmm. The Times isn't always right. Times could is
so
wrong
you're saying
before.
That this cover was wrong? Have you seen it?
No. Of course I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, it's...
We should give this as a homework assignment.
Yeah.
It's available widely online.
This is the first I'm hearing of it, but doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that the Times is a center, little teeny bit left newspaper. Their kind
of
girl.
The point of
the
point of this, and what I would refer you to, and I was just showing this to Rosemary, MediaMatters.org has put together a collection over the last 5 years of national political figures, potential
presidential
candidates. And have put together a dozen or so of these covers online. And what is fascinating about it is in every case, whether it be Biden or Scott Brown or Chris Christie or Bill Clinton or Andrew Cuomo or Newt Gingrich or John McCain or President Obama, it is a very front, it is a...
solid frontal view of a strong man.
Shot.
Yeah. And that's very true. It's Newt Gingrich is looking right into the camera. Cuomo's giving that knowing glaze.
Gaze.
I apologize.
No,
I'm sorry.
I've got the glaze. I was looking at 45 minutes into the show.
No. I think Joe is right. I think it was a glaze. You have to pick the crust off of yourself after you've gotten it.
The President Clinton is sitting on the corner of a desk looking very confident into the camera.
And Hillary's a little head in a planet like the man in the moon.
And the only...
And Sarah Palin is the one that matches it. She's also like a little head with a whole bunch
of
connections.
All right, let's things coming
throw
out
this
of
to Rosemary.
So is it sexist? Yeah. Wait. Is it sexist, Rosemary?
It's definitely a different view of women than men. Yes, I think it is sexist. I think this country and the media in general treats women politicians with a huge lack of respect. I include Sarah Palin, with whom I have no truck philosophically, but she was treated like a sex object, and so has Hillary. Yes.
Well, but there's a big difference between Sarah Palin and how she relates to
the
Not
in the
New
way
York
they're
Times.
Treated, Alan. And that's what I'm saying. Not in the way they're treated by the media.
And now you have a woman editor of the New York Times. What do you make of that?
She had nothing to do with the New York Times magazine. The newspaper and the magazine are run separately.
Well, you're the journalist, but you're telling me that they don't talk?
I don't know. There's an article about how the cover came about, and there's no mention of Abramson. What they started with was the idea of the gravitational pull, and those words became an illustration. And the idea of the illustration is that she's a powerful politician right now.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And I think in the long run, Hillary's people are gleefully rubbing their hands together, going, "Wow, this is everywhere."
I agree with Ray and I were talking about that.
This was fabulous for her machine because it's all over the internet, both in jokes, in memes, in copycat. So it could work, but why isn't there a full frontal picture of Hillary sitting there looking smart
clothed,
and powerful?
Right.
Very well dressed in the case of,
I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. And obviously, Media Matters points it out perfectly, the different standard. I think in the long run, this complete groundbreaking sort of weird, I don't even know how to
bizarre
describe it.
Cover.
Right. Mm-hmm. She wins with this. I mean, not necessarily wins the election, but is a winner in the public perception over this.
Well, you know, that's an odd thing about Hillary. Even in the last election, she was not very techno-savvy. It's one of the many reasons that Obama beat her so soundly in the primary, that he did have control over the Twitter and the internet sphere, and she did not. Yet since then, there have been a number of incidences where she's used it very well, including the series, do you remember, a picture taken by a Time magazine photographer of Hillary with sunglasses on, looking into her BlackBerry, and it's like she's in control of the universe. And there was a whole series of very comical memes over this. And she called in the creators of this and made a big whole media event of it. So she's embracing the kind of humor that young people, young voters especially, look at on the internet. So I think this can work for her. But
I
still resent it. I still resent that. I'm sorry.
I just want to say it's so bad.
It's so blatant.
I do want to say one. Just read a quick thing from Vanity Fair's blog on this cover that says, if the boys over in graphics were going to turn Hillary into a planet, at very least, couldn't they at least have made her an attractive rock planet? Why all the mountains and valleys to represent wrinkles? It's an invented astral body.
Mountains
and valleys correspond to actual geological properties of a real place.
I have a theory which is not going to go over well, but I've always had it, which is that when you look at the great female leaders of this world, you know, you find people who are a little older, the Indira Gandhis, the Golda Meirs, who are not threatening to the male egos as being younger people, younger women or attractive people. So when you talk about wrinkles, I think it may play out in her favor.
Well, it'll also play out with women voters, too, although, yeah, I do resent a little what you're saying, Alan. And that's in the way that, I mean, Hillary has fat thighs. I love that.
Why do you resent it?
No, I resent that.
Why do you resent it? No. I'm not telling you what I think.
I think my point's going to get lost in an argument. I think that Hillary is also not threatening to women because she is normal. She's like a normal woman. She is not a movie star.
Yep.
She's not a rock star. Yeah. She has trouble with her thighs and her hair is a little, hard to manage. And good for her.
I voted
still
for Pamela
amazing.
Anderson in the last election.
But Rosemary, what about men? I mean, men are the sexists in this world. We know it. I'm saying to you, an older woman has traditionally been who's got moxie and guts has been a more successful.
I think it's a problem for men too. Christie has it with being fat. Could Abraham Lincoln be elected right now? Could FDR be elected? He was crippled. That condition would not exist now. A big part of the Kennedy appeal was amazing good looks. We're kind of a shallow culture. Looks do matter.
Have campaigns and politics become too Hollywood now, you think?
A little bit, yeah.
But before people start to write in, I just want to make one thing clear. I, again, and here's why you resent a little and I resent a little on the other side, is that I wasn't saying that's the way it should be.
I was saying that's
the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's the way it has to be. I mean, the question is that with all of these things that are the case with it still brings to the point of you can have a very accurate picture. I would argue in this looking at this Media Matters segment, many of these gentlemen certainly do not look.
They're not handsome in the traditional way.
Right. You know, it's
different.
And I find myself, Alan, I'm saying I resent this because I'm sitting here thinking of, like, okay, who's a really good politician, who's a woman, who's also good looking? And of course, they do exist. There are women like that everywhere in our government.
There are.
But the question
Wendy Davis, just to mention one we
example.
Talked the other day.
But the question is, why do you take this particular political figure and make it a cartoon as opposed to...
The men get a beautiful formal portrait, and the women get a little cartoon. So, and that has nothing to do. Well, has
but
everything
you,
to do.
You
with
don't
the
remember
media.
Those portraits. This everyone's going to remember in 2 years. no one remembers those stupid portraits.
Good point.
Everybody's going to remember, oh, she's the center of the universe. Ignoring, in fact,
or that she had the head the size of a planet. I don't know. I think that's risky.
And I don't think she's going to get it. Well, never mind.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad that you have whatever it was you were thinking. I'm glad you thought better of it.
My foot was coming right down.
I lost track. Do I owe you a break? I do owe you a break. Okay. All right, thanks, we're going to take a break. Lord. We'll come back and we'll wrap this up. Thank you. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Health Center's neurosurgery program, with Dr. Jeanette Liu providing care for brain and spinal disease, herniated discs, and carpal tunnel syndrome, 413-447-2870, and SUNY Ulster Professional Education, Kingston, classes and certification programs in the fields of healthcare and addiction counseling, sunyulster.edu for catalog.
All right, and this is our final story as we just have a couple of minutes left. Dinesh D'Souza, a best-selling conservative author and filmmaker, was indicted on Thursday on charges that he used straw donors to illegally donate to a 2012 Senate campaign. An outspoken political commentator who directed 2016 Obama's America, a scathing N.A. Obama documentary released in the final months of the president's reelection campaign, encouraged. So now, I guess this is an interesting case. I don't know what that ultimately means donors.
That'll show him.
He basically has a friend from childhood who's running for office, and he funneled a whole bunch of money to her, but he got around campaign finance limits by giving the money, reimbursing others who gave money to her.
And you know, Alan, when
it may not. Yeah, go ahead.
No, when you interviewed him and had him on the show, I mean, I think he was at a different place, but you certainly saw some of the obviously some of the anger that was building even at that time.
No, that's right. This is going to be interpreted by many people as get even for what he did with Obama. On the other hand, we have laws. He may circumvent them. Believe me, some of these guys get away with a lot. But it certainly will throw a pail, over his decency or what he portends to be to his followers. So if you cheat, people aren't going to like it.
Oh, that's a good view. And you should explain maybe, Alan, what you meant by for what he did to Obama. He's the creator
the
horrible
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Obama's
yeah.
America.
Yeah, that yeah. Joe just mentioned.
Yes.
And in fact, was a horrible exercise in the kind of thing that divides us. I mean, we see it, and we know that. I just take him as an opportunist.
Yeah.
You know, he knows that this is what'll get him the most followers.
We are out of time.
Glenn Beck, yeah.
We're out of time, but I want to thank everybody. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Panel members, we'll see you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you very much. Again, roundtable at WAMC.org.